Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show, PK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by Nobody Ourselves, aka presented by my wine shop, 319 Wine and Cheese. If you're in the city of Champions, Tallahassee, Florida, come on by. You will get the best food, the best service, the best wine, the best bitches, the best everything. Also, you gotta say, presented by American Fighter. Yes, I'm trying to push the movement. Let's be about America, folks, and concentrating on our fighting arts. And last thing, shout out to my fitness program I'm getting off the ground once again from Jacksonville, Warrior Fitness. It's usually, I believe, Warrior-Fit on Instagram. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We've been gone for a long time, but we're coming back with a bang with the Brazilian motherfucking hotcake of a UFC event. And on the line with me tonight, I got the Don. I just call him the Don. He is the king, a.k.a. he is Don King, raping these boxers in the 90s. He is the dude. He is Leonardo DiCaprio in that one movie where Tom Hanks couldn't find him. He is the man, the myth, the legend. He is the man who told Brock Lesnar, take another fight, bro. He is the man who told Fedor, you should fight Fabio Maldonado. It don't matter. You are Fedor. He is the man who taught Alistair Overeem that crane kick. He is the Steven Seagal for Anderson Silva. He is a trained killer. He is the dude who trained Ali in Thriller in Manila. He is the dude who told Ali to call Joe Frazier a gorilla. He is Mr. Paychecks, a.k.a. Percy Love, single coming out soon. He is the Rochester Goon. He is the dude that is going to come through high noon shooting them cannons. Nick Diaz, middle fingers up, don't give a fuck. Bruce Buffer, tight microphone skills, what is up? It is Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Oh, man, that was long awaited, folks. And again, another great intro. And I got to say, I love it, Ryan. And folks, you know, me and Ryan, you know, we do want to apologize about the slight delay we had in our broadcasting. You know, just because, well, hey, let's face it, man, real life is a bitch. You know, me and Ryan do this show out of our passion. You know, we love doing this stuff. You know, sadly, we got those 40-hour week jobs where we got to grind to survive. But Ryan, real quick.
But I will say we are rising, Andrew. I got to say, if you look at the amount of people following us on Twitter, it's crazy.
Yeah.
If you look at the old interviews and the successful guys we have interviewed, ladies and gentlemen, go back. I don't know how Dustin did tonight. Dustin Jacoby had posted it. He was in the Glory Man event on SportsCenter. And also, shout out to all the people who have been listening. I'm sorry that when every time it seems like our listeners go up a lot, we go on a hiatus.
We disappear.
Yeah, I mean, it really sucks, but it's just real life. But we are rising, Andrew.
Oh, yeah, we're like cream, man. We stay at the top. And,
you know what? We had them fiending, and now we're here to tear it up.
Got that fixed for you. Got that fixed. And, folks, do look again. In the near future, me and Ryan are going to look again to locking down some more interviews. We'll see what happens. But Ryan, one thing, you know, just to say one thing, you know, because I wanted to just jump right into it. I know we usually bull crap around, but there is a lot of MMA to talk, and something that you just brought up, because I completely forgot. This is how much MMA is going on right now. You know, the UFC feeding it. But that Overeem-Arlovski fight, first of all, love the card. a Mother's Day card was amazing. I didn't get to see the whole card. I just saw the end of it. I read some things. It wasn't the most exciting card, but that fight, I know it was short, but
and
it
Scoob
was
knocking
great.
Out Bigfoot.
Scoob
yeah.
knocking out Bigfoot was one of the funniest things I ever saw.
Scoob,
right?
65 pounds now.
He's back. He looks like a double from either the Game of Thrones or that Viking show. He's so big. He's taller than the ring. Like he's taller than the ring.
He went through puberty. He really did. He said that in an interview, I think. Like, yeah, I finally matured into my body. It's like, dude, you're like 26. What do you want? Are you on that Ovaltine diet? I see you both over there winning by knockout.
It was a thing of beauty, and you know, Bigfoot complained, but he hurt him. Need him in the solar plexus,
and then
hammer fisted him unconscious. It was brutal.
First off, I got to say, Bigfoot, I'm taking away that victory over Fedor because obviously when TRT was legal, well, first off, I got to say, you know, if there's one person who actually needs TRT, motherfucking Bigfoot has a syndrome where he has to be on TRT. So this dude shouldn't even be fighting without TRT, like, legally, like, his body needs it. So he's literally getting hit and just falling down these days. But I got to go back. If it's illegal these days, then I'm not counting all that goddamn Dan Henderson, Bigfoot, beating Fedor, both of them TRT'd up. I mean, look at where Doom. I mean, the guy's clean, and he's the champion now. Luke Rockhold. I mean, the sport changes. But, Andrew, getting back to the knockout, Overeem, goddamn. You got all the haters out there.
One of the best KOs I ever saw, man.
And the man just KO'd JDS. And I believe he also beat Roy Nelson on this run. He might have lost to Roswell in between. And he beat Frank Mir. You know, it's heavyweight division. It's always crazy. But I'm sorry, you know, like JDS knocking him out like that, no one does that. Not even Kane could do it that way. And then being able to knock out Arlovsky like that. I know Steve knocked him out. And
a great fight.
They're training partners, too, so they know each other. And it's
Arlovsky came out so hard, bro. I thought. I just remember in the beginning, I thought Arlovsky was going to KO him. Just what's really quick, what I loved about this fight, Bill Ryan. First of all, Arlovsky came out to "I'm a Soldier" by Eminem. It was pretty epic. And then, not to be outdone, Overeem comes out. It starts out as, I don't know if it's the national anthem where he's from. I know he's fighting hometown.
Yeah.
Started out as the national anthem, right? Midway turns to this, like, pride meets dubstep meets techno beat.
Only Overeem.
Starts
out. Mix the national anthem. Only him.
The crowd starts going crazy. He starts dancing, running to the ring. So just two great walkout songs. I couldn't believe he missed it. National anthem.
Also, it gives us, you got to say, it's really cool. You know, Stipe wins, and it kind of puts a damper on it. But the Werdum Overeem rivalry, one of the boringest rivalries in MMA. Their first two fights sucked so bad, but the third one could just be such a great fight. So now, you know, we have a clear cut number one contender waiting on this huge heavyweight fight. And Andrew, this event this weekend, I got sad. We'll talk about Anderson. I got sad about that, but after seeing how much people showed up for the weigh-in, how pumped the Brazilians are, this truly is like a super event. I mean, this is 43,000 people in a stadium. I mean, this is epic. This is an epic event we are seeing. This might be better than 199 and 200.
It's Ryan. It is, you know, that was something we'll touch on it later at the show. But I did want to bring, yo, the next three UFC cards are freaking insane.
Is it because they're selling? We might touch on that too.
Yeah. When there's smoke, there's fire.
Real.
If you've learned one thing from following hey. Sports. If there's smoke, there's fire.
Hey.
Now, that's all I
gotta, I got to say this, though. Dana White, he always talks shit to the MMA media and gets away with it. And the MMA media, they're a bunch of punks, you know, that... They don't have that backup, you know, and, they, you know, they can get their passes revoked, so they kind of back down. But when you got Darren Rovell after you, and he's hitting Dana White's like, oh, it's bullshit, and then Darren Rovell just – I'm getting a little feedback here. Darren Rovell just comes back with the, oh, really? Here's my sources. Why'd you put your business out there for blah, blah? Dana White's not ready for a Darren Rovell type reporter, you know. He's not ready for that ESPN reporting. It's so funny to see Dana White scrambling in the first.
The whole
is,
story
like,
was fake. I just found that it was a pretty. There were a lot of sources. It was a pretty big story. Like, come on, there wasn't a shred of truth to any of that. I'm the biggest ESPN hater out there, but come on, not a shred of truth to any of it.
Oh, there's truth there. And you got to think, Steve, Fertitta has told Dana, like, hey, Dana, how about we make a show for you called Looking for a Fighter, and you can go on the road. This way you're not in front of the microphone all the time screwing us over with your big mouth.
Like, hey, we can really tell the business when you're gone.
we can actually run this like a business without you putting your goddamn foot in your mouth like you always do.
I don't know. I was just saying real quick, though, because it is tomorrow. This is why we're going to bring you more shows, folks. We just have a million and one things to talk about.
Oh, so much. But 198 is the concentration tonight.
So, right, 198. I saw the commercial for this
and
last Bellator weekend.
And Bellator tomorrow, too, with Team of Phil Davis.
Damn. Oh, my God. Thank God you said that, because I'm not going to lie, Ryan. I am in UFC mode tomorrow, but I will turn in for that Bellator event. But, Ryan, real quick, just touching on this card. So, of course, back-to-back weeks. With Anderson on this card, Ryan, this was probably the best main card I've ever seen. But what seems to happen to so many other best main cards we've ever seen, out of nowhere, Anderson has gallbladder surgery, which, Ryan, I smell – conspiracy theory, talks of UFC 200. I kind of think they looked at the card and wanted that name power because with the addition to that fight for UFC 200, it is a pretty epic card. Ryan, going on, but you know, this card is gone, but this is how stacked this card is. It might not be an A+ anymore. It's an A. You know what I mean? So it's still an A card. So I don't know, man. How do you want to get into this one? Going down some of the fights. What you want to do?
There's so much topics to talk about. Let's start with going up and down the main card. Let's start with Cyborg. I mean, she had the worst weight cut I've ever seen in my life. And then the report is she's putting on 20 pounds to go back into this fight, going in at 160. And I got to admit, watching the UFC embedded, I've always disliked Cyborg. But she's not a cyborg. She actually has a motherfucking human side. It looks like her boyfriend is her bitch. Like, he's like a little skinny dude now. She no longer is the husband of the other cyborg or husband. She no longer is the wife. Well, but Cyborg making her debut is what puts this event over the top for me, because not only do you know it's going to be entertaining, you know Cyborg's going to go in there and smash her bitch. And this is such a historical moment because we have all been waiting for Ronda Cyborg, and that's always been the talk. And we've never been able to see Cyborg in the UFC. I know Leslie Smith is kind of a, you know, someone to get in there and get smashed. But Leslie, you know, I saw her on Vetted. She has a little fighter in her. I got to give her credit for taking the fight. And what if she pulls the upset? I mean, you never know. Cyborg had a bad weight.
Wouldn't be the first time we've seen something like this, too, Ryan. I mean, think of all those other big-name fighters that came in and just lost.
Oh, yeah. And
definitely those Brazilian fighters who came in and just lost.
And I got him at Cyborg. You know, she got a big pop at the weigh-in. It's pretty funny. I was watching it. You know, I think Vitor actually got booed compared to Jacare, which was shocking. It was like Vitor with his haircut. No one makes me laugh more than Vitor on the Embedded, talking about how hot his wife is, how he licks his wife's toes on some kind of bachelor in Brazil to get his wife, and then
to get his wife, he just came up and licked her toes.
He was licking her toes, and only Vitor Belfort would do that. Then he calls it the Belfort family. We all eat healthy. We're eating cauliflower pizza with his cauliflower ear. Going to get his weird haircut that doesn't look right, but he wanted to get it taped anyway, and it just looked worse when he came out. Like, is that a mustard on your head, bro? Like, Vitor Belfort, the guy who's been around since motherfucking UFC 10, still doing it, and what a motherfucking fight.
Wait, he was on 10, and this dude is on UFC 198.
10. Yep, UFC 10 or 11 was the debut. This guy has been around for.
He's
going to
make it 200. He's going to make it 200 UFC events he's been around for.
Yeah, think about the guys Vitor's beaten, too. He beat Anthony Rumble Johnson. He beat Luke Rockwell. I know he was on TRC then, but Michael Bisping, like, the list goes on and on of the guys Vitor beat. I think he lost to Overeem, but the list goes on. I mean, ultimate legend, and you got to say this is a number one contender match. Jacare Vitor, what a fucking great co-main event. I believe that is the co-main event. But going back to the original Cyborg, Leslie Smith, I'm so excited to see Cyborg. Andrew, just diving into that fight first, if Cyborg wins, we see how much trouble she has to make 140. I don't think there's any way she makes 135. Misha Tate is ultimate confidence. She was on Joe Rogan talking shit about Ronda Rousey so much. I think it even made Joe Rogan uncomfortable. I saw his bald head sweating a little bit. But Misha Tate wants Ronda, and I can't wait to see that. But I can't picture a world where Cyborg makes 135. If you're the UFC and she just comes out and looks like a Mike Tyson, you make a weight class 145 for Cyborg, make her the champion, eventually maybe have a super fight at 140, or do you keep her at 140, maybe throw Holly Holm up, which would be probably one of the better fights ever with their styles, standing up-wise. You know, Misha Tate says everything, but, oh, I would fight Cyborg. I doubt it. Misha Tate, you'd probably get destroyed. But what do you do with Cyborg after this fight? Because it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we're bringing her in to smash this chick. But, she obviously can't make 135. She has too much steroids. And what do you think about Dana White coming out after the weigh-in? This is typical Dana White. Like, what the fuck are you doing? He says, she looks like Wanderlei Silva in a dress and high heels. And then he says,
he said it again.
I believe it was this when he said it, or maybe he said it before, and then he said, I think she might be on steroids. What the fuck? So what do you think about those two things?
First of all, I don't know. I don't know if that was – I remember if Dana did say that again, that'd be hilarious because, like, I don't know. I remember I think Cyborg even trying to file a lawsuit because Dana kept saying she looked like, man.
Maybe it was an old clip I saw.
Yeah, I think it might have been old. I'm not sure, though. But it comes up with Cyborg. I mean, I guess, Ryan, the first thing is, like, she's got to win. I can think of so many other fighters. One straight off the top of my mind, Hector Lombard. I mean? Just an animal that should come in and dominate, but the weight cut, and we'll see. What's hard about, I'm sure they could find the talent and find the girls out there for 145, and I would strongly consider creating a division where Cyborg could be champ, but I don't know if they can just, if they have the talent to create a whole other division, which is going to be a problem because, I mean, Cyborg, ultimately, you got to think Dana brought her in for one reason, to win and to fight Ronda for the belt. Ronda's going away party, her last fight ever. She beat Cyborg and Hollywood ending, right? We'll see what happens. But, you got to see Cyborg is going to absolutely destroy Leslie Smith. It's Cyborg, man. What's funny about this, Ryan, is I'm sorry, but I'm more excited for this fight than Misha Tate's title defense. Big of a name Cyborg is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this fight, the only women's fight that doesn't have, Cyborg has to be second. Well, Holly did beat Ronda, but I feel like Cyborg in the UFC is the only one that can top her on a fight is Ronda. You know what I mean? She's got to be number two in star power. So, this fight alone, great fight to start out, but, she's got to win and got to keep winning. With the weight, it's tough. I think she weighed in at 139. She's putting 20 pounds back on, which is insane. I don't know if she can make 135. She would have to make I don't know. I'm sure she can get down there. But right. She might be able to get down there, but who knows if she can even fight. You know what I mean? That just might be too much of a strain on the body.
Is she Wanderlei Silva? Secretly, he just gets the makeup. And
that, like Joanna Man style?
Yeah. Maybe that's her. That's Wanderlei. He's sneaky. He's just sneaking around. He just got hit by a car, too. He got hit by a car. Another little MMA side note. Wanderlei Silva gets hit by a car.
Poor Vandy. A prayers, acts, murder, prayers. But put a bow on it. With Cyborg, all we can really do, Ryan, is wait and see. First she has to win, and who knows what she'll be able to get in the future. But, Ryan, you have to look at it this way. Just getting Cyborg in the division, is a win for Dana. Doesn't really matter if she wins or loses. She's going to get her numbers. You got Ronda. You got Holly. You got Misha. I feel like he doesn't.
Women's so much better right now. Definitely with the 115 and how big Paige VanZant's getting with Dance with the Stars. It's definitely just making that women's division all together.
Yeah.
So much better having Cyborg part of it. And, you have girls like Angela Lee at 1FC. They just signed a big deal with 19 years old. Pot just won the title. Women's MMA is in the young aspect of the MMA fighting world. But there is so much star power out there. And it's just that division right there is just such a hotbed. So many great fighters right now in the UFC. And I just pray Cyborg can eventually just make that weight. Or Ronda, do you think Ronda will, if Cyborg just keeps knocking bitches out at 140, let's say she knocks Holly Holm out, do you think Ronda eventually will be considered, people will turn against her if she does not fight Cyborg?
I'm going to have to say yes. In today's, I don't think she'll get the Floyd Mayweather treatment. She has to fight Cyborg if Cyborg puts herself in a position to fight Ronda Rousey. If she runs. I feel like that was something that will always be said. But Ryan, let's keep moving along, though.
Yeah,
we got a bunch of cards to start off with. Sidebar, it's kind of funny. Dana move, UFC Fight Pass. Well, Little Nog, I would call it the main event for the Fight Pass is Little Nog, Patrick Cummings. That's what $8.99 gets you.
I'm excited about that fight, but I wouldn't pay for it.
It sucks. It's on Fight Pass. Dana's little move. That was a Dana move.
Why did not put that or Damian Maia versus Travis Brown on the main card?
That's his main event for Fight Pass. Dana, he's got to get people to tune in.
Yeah, but even Travis Brown, Damian Maia, you don't put that on the pay-per-view and say the guy who beat Sage Northcutt against some random Brazilian on the pay-per-view. Come on, what are you doing?
Barbarino's fighting?
Oh, yeah, old fat Barbarino.
Oh, my God, that is funny. I just saw it. Going on, I just think it's funny. So that's the main event. Real quick, it's in Brazil. I'm going Little Nog, Ryan. Real quick, who you got, Little Nog or Patrick Cummings? The guy who got knocked out by Cormier in 30 seconds. That's all I know about Patrick Cummings. He got knocked out by Cormier in 30 seconds.
I think he lost the OFP too.
He's not very good.
He all the potential, but like just can't come through. But, eventually as I move on, I do want to, like, get into the fights. But this is what I got to say, like, Little Nog, he's got to do it. First off, for Big Nog, Big Nog just, like, he's a walking zombie now. But, you know, he was always on the big Brazilian cards, always getting some random knockout, Brendan Schaub, I'm looking at you. Little Nog, you've got to come through for your big brother. You got to get the victory. I did watch when Shogun beat Little Nog recently. It was an epic first round. So Little Nog still has a little bit of that brawler in him. I'm taking Little Nog just because it's in Brazil by decision. I'm going decision for him. And I think this is either you got a win or retirement. And it shows the weakness of the division that fucking Little Nog still ranked in the top 10 in the UFC.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. It really does show the weakness of the division. I'm going, you know, as I'm saying, I got a decision too, or a Little Nog could stop Patrick Cummings. I mean, but the main reason I'm going Little Nog, though, it is in Brazil. It's too big. It's going to be rocking, and I got Little Nog. Ryan, I don't know how this man made his way back. We're not going to talk about all the prelim fights. I mean, there's here that are not good.
Yeah.
But the guy, he was in the UFC, got kicked out on the UFC. Then he knocked out Tyron Woodley in another event for the belt. Then he got caught with steroids. Didn't hear from him for a year. Marquardt is back, my friend.
Oh, my God.
He made it back.
Nate's a great
throwback, Ryan.
King
it makes me
Pancras.
Feel like we're in 08.
King of Pancras in the house. Former Strikeforce champion when Strikeforce fought out. Somehow beat Tyrone Woodley.
He beat down Tyrone Woodley. He was too big.
That was
big
the
Strikeforce
Roy days, I think.
He was too big. He was too big.
Who's this mofo fighting?
He's fighting Thiago Santos.
Okay, so this isn't Thiago Alves. This isn't Thiago Santos.
There's another Thiago in Brazil. Of course, you know, the middle night fight. He's 12. He's the dude. He's 12-3. He lost to Uriah Hall. He fought Uriah Hall before he lost. I mean, he's really just, you know, beating up some nobodies. Beat Steve Bosse back on. He knocked him out with a head kick. Got performance
of the
night.
I live in a college area. I just saw a cop. All these people are running up to a big party. This cop just sped by with his lights on. Party over. Sorry, I just had to say it. I'm watching it in front of my eyes.
Too funny, but to move on. He's a Brazilian with a good record who's never fought anyone that tough before. He lost Uriah Hall. So, I mean, if Thiago Santos, he's middleweight, he's got all the talent in the world. I mean, he is kind of old. He's 32. But if he can beat Nate Marquardt, it somewhat, you know, gives him a victory on his career where you say, hey, I know that guy, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, step up fight. He could even be one of those Ultimate Fighter Brazil guys that none of us know who the fuck they are. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going Nate the Great with the Brazilian win.
I love it.
I'm just going Nate because, you know, he always comes out and gets a victory here and then gets knocked out somewhere else. I just think he's got that veteran savvy. He's going to get the victory in Brazil. Don't know enough about Thiago Santos, but maybe I will after this weekend. I doubt I'll catch these prelims, but because I'll be working. But I think that Nate the Great is going to come through with another victory. Superman punch knockout. My prediction, Nate.
That would be some shit. All right, next, Brian, we have a fight with probably the best fighter with the worst record. I mean, the guy is 2013, but he's You know, just that guy can beat everyone, but, you know, not the Robbie Lawlers or the Johnny Hendricks of the world. And, you know, that is, and he beats his wife, which is the whole truth. I'm fucked up. But Matt Brown is fighting Damian Maia. Matt Brown
beats his wife, too.
Matt Brown, though, the best guy with the worst record. I mean, Ryan, he's 20-13.
Yeah, he's an animal. He's always bought in. He should be, like, the best fighter that never gets the big victories, like you said. And he is fighting a guy that is on fire. Damian Maia just beat Gunnar Nelson. He is absolutely catching fire. This is huge for Damian in that welterweight division. And don't forget, I don't know if you caught it, Matt Brown actually just flicked off the Brazilian crowd at the weigh-in. They were chanting, "You're going to die. You're going to die." And he flicked them off. So the heat is on the immortal Damian Maia. All the little Brazilian jiu-jitsu heads are loving it. They're thinking he is going to be, you know, top five pretty soon. I'm going to say Damian Maia is going to once again fall in love with his stand-up, even though he has such good ground game. And the immortal is going to absolutely destroy him standing up. If Damian Maia does not get this fight to the ground, Matt Brown is just too epic. Standing up, don't forget, last time in Brazil, I believe it was against Eric Silva, the great Brazilian hopes, when he had the absolute war and ended up wrecking him. I think Matt Brown once again has that Matt Brown performance where he just comes through. And I think this might be up there as one of the better fights of the night, maybe fight of the night. Not surprising, but an epic fight. I got Matt Brown, TKO, third round. I think he's going to swarm with the stand-up. I don't see Damian Maia being able to consistently take him down.
Yeah, Ryan, this one of the things I love about this fight is the storyline going into it. I mean, Ryan, honestly, we're looking at two guys. Well, actually, it's hard for me to say this. In mixed martial arts, when we have Andre Arlovski making title runs and Robbie Lawler coming back, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's crazy.
Hey, don't Frank, my boy Robbie.
Frank Mir saw Bigfoot, thought he could do it, and that was a mistake.
Robbie Frank on steroids, took the wrong ones. I don't know what he was thinking.
But
that D sample stood for a buffet when they were saying he tested positive for that B sample.
Oh, man, that's pretty funny. But, Ryan, we got two guys that are in the crossroads of their careers almost, Matt Brown and Damian Maia. As far as in, I guess, just Lost Dean, though, in general about their name, that's kind of one of the first things.
Maya's game theme lately, but it's like, you know, he does this all the time and then he'll lose, you know,
Exactly right. I think, you know, funny you should say that because last time I remember we had a lot of steam, I'm pretty sure Nate the Great knocked him out in like 7 seconds. And it was embarrassing.
He
with the head kick.
That stand-up. That's what he does.
But this is just a win here is huge for both of these guys.
Oh, yeah. And
two reasons. One, for Matt Brown, though, for him to get the win, this would finally be like one of those upper echelon. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't beat Johnny Hendricks. He couldn't beat Robbie Lawler. So, you know, Damian Maia, if he can beat him, that's an upper echelon fighter. You know, you've got to think, Ryan, both these guys are getting pretty close to a title shot. You know, if Damian wins this, that's five in a row. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how, you know, you couldn't have him up there as maybe a win away. And, I mean, Matt Brown, honestly, Ryan, he's 20-13. He's on the two-fight win streak. Like, if you want to go for another title shot, this is a fight you have to win. You know what I mean? If you lose here, okay, you got to try and win another two or three in a row. You know what I mean? You got to win three or four in a row, I feel like, to get in the title shot. So, like, this is just huge for both guys. I could honestly see it going either way because it's in Brazil, but I'm just going to go with the most violent fighter as well as Ryan because it is a violent sport. And I got Matt Brown winning via bear mauling in round two.
All right, let's hit the, any other prelims before we hit the main card?
No, main card, Ryan. Real quick, though, I just want to say this. I got Barbarino mainly because I like chanting his name when he fights.
I like
that victory over. I put some respect on his name after
yeah.
that victory over Sage Northcutt.
Barbarino, future lightweight champ after beating Sage. I'm sorry, he's coming through with that gut. The only lightweight with a gut. I got to give it to Barbarino.
Got to.
Definitely another fight on 2 weeks' notice with the gut. Giving it
right.
to him.
But, Brian, this one,
gotta go
I'm praying.
Shogun.
Yeah. Shogun, Corey Anderson, praying Shogun
man.
Wins. Let me get a little background
man.
First. Shogun, how big
man.
Is this? I mean, obviously, Corey Anderson, if he wins, he gets a victory on his resume against Shogun. I mean,
is,
he is 8-1, but
this is
what do you
the,
talk to me?
This is the fight where, all right, Anderson Silva, they've talked, you know, his fight, they set him up with Uriah Hall, a guy where they knew Uriah Hall was going to stand up and bang with Anderson Silva. They gave Anderson, once again, another guy that was, you know, going to play into his style. Shogun, nah, I'm sorry, buddy. You didn't get that break. Anderson is the guy who's going to come in like a Chael Sonnen. He's going to blast for the double. He's younger. He's so much bigger, so much more athletic. In a weak division, I know it's not much being ranked high up there. I'm praying Shogun can come around and pull some old Shogun shit, but he just doesn't do it. I mean, he looked out of shape once again. Look at the weigh-in picture, how much bigger Corey looks. He's just, what I know of him, what I've heard, he's just going to go for that wrestling, that smothering style. It's the absolute fight you do not want to give Shogun. I'm sure Shogun is wishing he got that Dan Henderson fight or whatever. He needs to take a page from Rashad's book and go to 185. This is a guy in 2010 that was talking about his family was trying to talk him into retirement. Shogun, I'm going to say this now, the only reason he is in the UFC right now is because they know if he's out of the UFC, he's in Bellator fighting Tito Ortiz and all of a sudden getting millions of viewers somehow because that's what motherfucking Bellator does.
Probably
Shogun,
winning a little bit, you know what I mean? He'd be getting some Bellator victories too.
Exactly. This isn't going to be no Shogun magic. This is going to be the Corey Anderson moment. I got him by decision or maybe even TKO late in the fight just smothering Shogun.
Yeah, Ryan, this is definitely a fight where, like, you want to go with your heart. You want to believe somehow Shogun is going to come in there and get the victory. You want to go with your heart. But you just can't, man. It's just too big. You just have to, you know what I mean? Your heart's telling you one thing,
and
your mind's telling you the other. I mean, Ryan, Shogun lately, his career, if you go on his Wikipedia page, they have green and red lights, you know, next to the fight. It's red and blue.
7 minute
green
warning,
and red.
By the way.
It looks all right. It looks like a Christmas tree, Ryan. It is ridiculous. This guy even lost to OSP. He got knocked out by OSP.
Mm-hmm. So
like,
I remember watching that fight.
Shogun, he's done. I mean, if he can win here, he needs to retire. But, I mean, it's very sad watching what he's done to, you know. I mean, he's a guy who's a great who, when we look back in time, and we're going to look on his record on paper. Yeah, and you look how he finished. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's sad.
Fucking Forrest Griffin.
I think the guy needs to, sadly, I got to say, move on. You got choked out by Chael motherfucking Sonnen in like a minute and 30 seconds. I mean, that was when it was time to move on.
Speaking
of moving
about
on,
that.
We
yes.
got to talk about Jacare Vitor. What an epic match. You got the MMA veteran. He always pulls it out in Brazil. I think he has the obvious stand-up advantage. You know, Vitor just has that magic when it comes to Brazil. He has that all-around game. But Jack Gray is so dangerous on the ground, but yet he wasn't that. Well, Yoel Romero was on steroids and an absolute 10V fighting him. But Jack Gray is a little boring in his last fight. I'm going Vitor here. I feel like this is a Vitor fight where, you know, I don't think Jack Gray is going to be able to submit Vitor, and I think Vitor is going to be able to outpoint him. Maybe not knock him out, but be able to get a decision over three rounds and get that Luke Rockhold rematch, one last Vitor. You know, he always gets it. Championship fight. It's that Vitor moment. I think he's going to pull off another one with a weird haircut. This is a tailor-cut Vitor moment. They did not give him – well, they never do. He always had tough fights in Brazil, and this is another tough-ass fight. If he pulls this off, I got to say Vitor has to be one of the best middleweights ever if he can beat a guy like Jacare in his prime.
Ryan, maybe, you know, one of the best. This fight, and another thing I love about this card, Ryan, is this is a fight I can see going both ways. Screw it. I'm going Vitor. No, I'll go Souza. Try and be different. Going Souza. Title fight, Ryan. 4 minutes left. Just move along. Who you got?
Can Stipe bring the title back to Cleveland? Yes, Stipe is more American than me, it seems like, and the motherfucker is from Cleveland. Andrew, I'm surprised he's not your favorite fighter. This guy has all the potential to be great, but we're doomed. Oh, first off, we're doomed getting every fan a mask to wear. So all the fans are going to be wearing a doomed mask. How scary is that, going into 43,000 fans?
That's some purge shit. Stipe might get purged after the fight.
But Stipe, you know, he has the wrestling. He has the boxing. To me, it's the battle of cardio. Whose cardio is going to last? I think we're doomed because he looked too good lately. He's been just looking too good overall. We saw JDS be able to beat Stipe in a close fight. This could be Stipe's moment. If he loses, he's just going to be another heavyweight. So this is, I think, do or die, even though he's so young. We're doomed. This is so big for him. Two huge fights, Kane and Overeem, in the future. He needs this. If we're doomed wins, he has a claim as probably the best heavyweight ever. I just think that if Stipe hits the ground, which, you know, he might have to use his wrestling at some point with the knees of Werdum. Werdum's just too good at submitting people. I think he's going to get Stipe tired and be able to pull another great submission victory off in the fifth or the fourth round in an epic heavyweight clash.
Yeah, Ryan, I mean, real quickly, I'm going to go Werdum. Just because it's in Brazil, again, if Stipe won, I wouldn't be shocked. This is about to be a war. Stipe is a great fighter, the younger fighter. But in Brazil, the adrenaline, I think it's too much. And I think the Brazilians are going to have a pretty good night. We'll see what happens, Ryan. They're probably the most thirsty community in MMA. How bad does Brazil need to, you know, kind of show the world they still got it? Because it's been a while since, you know, we've seen Brazil still has it. You know, they've been caught up, maybe even surpassed.
They need it more than anything. The UK is catching up. Everyone's catching up. I mean, Jose Aldo coming out and saying he's going to fight Conor McGregor in the street if he doesn't get a chance at Conor McGregor. Shut the fuck up, Jose Aldo. I don't understand why he's even involved.
There's no ref to stop it in the street,
yeah.
Jose.
Yeah, smush face, Jose Aldo talking. But, yeah, that was their last champion. Werdum is their big hope. The Brazilians need a comeback. I just don't see a lot of hot prospects coming out of Brazil right now that are popping off the grid. It's kind of sad, but this is their event. This is their time to show off. And to me, it's the end of that Brazilian era. We get to see it's sad Anderson's not on it, but we get to see some of those last dinosaurs of Brazil fighting.
Yes.
And we'll see how they do. But Brazil needs this in a big way. And they showed that they still are the kings of MMA with 43,000 people showing up. The UFC needs to start paying attention to Brazil again. I think they've shied away a little too much from Brazil.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, the dinosaurs, and, you know, this is something we'll get further on the show, conspiracy theories, but at BK Show, Andrew M.,